Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back to Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast for our first podcast recording of 2024. I think we've uploaded one on the stroke of 2024 already, but we're in the new year and we're still kicking. Benji, are you hungover from New Year's celebrations? Is that what you said?
No. I'm not hungover. Well, I just decided to watch a movie late at night yesterday. And every time I do that, when you start watching a movie at like 11:30 in the evening, you don't realize that it's only going to be done at 2 a.m. And now I feel
like...
Well,
you can. You can look at the runtime of the movie.
I didn't.
Wait, were you watching a 2.5-hour movie? What is it? Tarantino movie? Clint Eastwood movie?
Rebel Moon on Netflix, and it was okay, I guess.
It was all right?
It was all right. It wasn't great. It's a Star Wars copycat.
Okay, well, I got given a Nintendo Switch for Christmas, and... I got Mario Kart Deluxe pretty good, battled my sister-in-law. Did I let her win a match? Absolutely not. If I had nieces, nephews, and children, would I let them win? Absolutely not. Welcome to the real world, Sonny. I'm throwing a turtle shell at you before you cross the line. And I got Pokemon Legends Arceus, and man, by the way, not sponsored by Nintendo.
Question.
But so good. I'm addicted to it.
What aspects of Mario Kart should be implemented in real-life cycling? Should one be able to throw bananas at other cyclists?
What aspects? They got to power up the... I guess they take doping, don't they? They take the mushrooms. in Mario Kart. That shouldn't be allowed. That's illegal. And so what else do they do? they throw objects to hit each other. I don't know. Maybe if a spectator knocks you off your bike, you can't hit them like Lopez did, but whatever's in your jersey pocket, so a gel wrapper, it could be a full gel, could be a rice cake. You're allowed to jettison that at the relevant spectator. I think that's fair enough.
I think that's fair too. Anyway.
Well, a vulnerable spell on a spectator. About. That was news as well. I woke up, saw that news. I was like, oh, this is going to be widely condemned. And it was like, nah, they were like, boo, boo.
Apparently they threw piss at him. Which
did he say that? He didn't say that.
He reposted a.
Why is it always piss comes up? Everyone's like, oh my god, a liquid thrown at me. It was piss. It's like you're riding past. You see them urinate into the relevant cup. It could have been beer. I don't know. Do they serve beer at the cross?
To be fair, Dutch beer might as well have been piss.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know why everyone just got it's urine. Maybe it was, I don't know. But in his post-race interview, he didn't say that. He said they were abusing him, which of course is, you know, not great. But spitting at fans.
But let's say you've got urine thrown at you. What is the exchange rate between urine and piss? Like, what's worse?
What do you mean?
Piss is worse, right? To get piss
it's
over
the same
you?
Thing.
I think if I'd rather have spit over me than piss. If I'm cycling.
Oh, Jesus, this is a tough start to this pod. what would I rather be spat on? Or, I mean, listen, each their own proclivities, let a thousand blossoms bloom, as the great Bob Catter says. Anyway, on to the Bahrain Victorious preview. On a more serious note, whilst they did have once again, a fantastic year in terms of results, so budget, in terms of wins, consistency. I think the biggest news and the biggest impact on the team overall was the tragic passing of Gino Mater during the Tour de Suisse, which in June before the Tour de France, the race he was going to do and near his hometown, and indeed their team, I believe, has on their jerseys this year a remembrance to Gino, all for Gino, and I think that was incredibly sad. There's not really much more to say on that, unfortunately. I'm sure there'll be a remembrance at the Tour de Suisse next year for Gino Maeda, who was well loved by the team, by all reports, and you know the riders, they'd personally say to me, lovely guy. But also commendable to the team itself for continuing on and yeah. winning three. They were competitive for the rest of the year, and I listened to a nice Morich piece in the Cycling Podcast Year Roundup where he said he thought the best way to honour Maeda was through doing his job and winning, and he did that in Slovenia, and they did that at the Tour as well. So, but yeah, I thought we'd lead with that, Benji.
Yeah, indeed. 12 Vuelta wins, 19 victories. You said it, they kept winning, and I feel like when I look at this team, with the riders that are on it, I might have thought, okay, maybe they might have had more than 19 victories, but it's so focused on World Tour victories that they've got a really solid season. We're starting off with the Grand Tours here. Fourth in the Grand Tour of the Giro with Caruso in GC. Ciclamino win with Milan. Two stage wins with Milan and Butrago. Tour de France, 16 GC with Bilbao. Plus three stage wins. Bilbao, Puls was beating the other Wout. And then Mohoric as well in that close sprint versus Asgreen, if I recall correctly. And then Landa had a really good season. Fifth at the Vuelta, 10th Butrago again in GC. So Butrago's doing really well throughout the season as well. Then look at one-day races. Third at LBL with Butrago, third at Flèche with Landa, second at San Sebastian with Bilbao. That's maybe their weakest portion, the one-day races. But then we look at the one-week races, and that's where they really hit home the UCI points, I think, because like they're in the top five, top six of every single one-week race that I can think of, right?
Isn't this the team that a lot of people maybe think Ineos or Trek are? And I'm talking specifically about GC here.
Yeah.
Bahrain are a incredibly consistent, solid GC team, particularly in the three-week races. For years, since 2020 Tour de France, Benji, on,
yeah.
that's where the Landa meme face comes from when they launched it as a team on, was it Glier? Or Roslin, I can't remember. And they've been that way for 4 years, but they're missing that guy. They're missing the Roglic, the Remco, and...
Yep.
But otherwise, they got the mountain support. In fact, they're good on the flat too with riders like Arndt and Switzerland and others. They're good with Morich. So, but in terms of GC, yeah, they got a lot of sort of middling or like second-tier GC riders who I would say achieve the most that could be expected of them.
Yeah, Bilbao, like I would never have said...
Great year.
7-8 years ago that Bilbao would be pulling off the things he's pulling off in the last 2 years. Like winning stages, sure. We were all expecting that, I reckon, when it comes to Bilbao. He was already doing it in the Giros of 2018, whatever that Giro was, where Landa and Nibali were fighting each other. And I think Carapaz was also in there winning the actual race. I think that was 2018 or something. Anyway, that's an example. Like Bilbao has now gone to an actual top five, top six GC rider in Grand Tours. Like in the Tour de France it's sixth, but in other Grand Tours he can top five the race, which that's shocking to me. I didn't expect that 5 years ago. And then Landa still running. Landa second at Itzulia, fifth at Catalunya, and the Lucia, I think he was second as well, combining that with once again fifth at the Vuelta. Like these are solid results. He's obviously leaving the team, which we'll talk about in a second, but overall they've got so many riders that can top five at GC. Caruso, Haig, they had made it. We had, and I think there was another one. I think Polonia was won by Mohoric or something, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
Puls, also sixth at UAE Tour. Like,
Puls in the last, from out of contract.
Yeah.
He won his first Grand Tour stage and then his first Tour de France stage this year. And he might do the triple. Yeah, yeah. He never won a Grand Tour stage.
He now has two, or?
The Vuelta stage, he won in 22, no?
I think, yes.
Or no, or this year.
Wait. 2023, this year.
Yes, he never won a Grand Tour stage before this year.
Yep, correct.
And then he was literally no one, you know, Quickstep could have had him, by the way. FYI, exactly. Quickstep could have had him. And he now won two, and he didn't wish to win random Grand Tour stages either. Like,
yep.
that Tour de France Lebetex, he did proper watts there. And then stage 20, he beat Remco and co on a medium mountain parkour smart sprint. So like, they got a lot of sort of savvy riders, I'd say. Like, yeah. I would put Pools in that category. I'd put Bilbao, Moritz in like the savvy. If you put these guys, this is what I think this team's the best at in the world. Like, you can say, okay, yeah, but you've spoken a lot about coming fifth in GC in Tirreno Adriatico. Congratulations. Yeah. Which is true. It's like, that isn't that exciting. It does get you a lot of points. But what I think this team is the best at is win maximization in breakaways in stage races. Like, they get in every correct breakaway, they get the most out of it, and they nearly damn win every time, even when they aren't the strongest rider.
Yep, I think so as well. It's just in total a good season. Like, the amount of World Tour victories they have, 12, that's really good, and they also do it at the top races and not necessarily at the Polonias all the time. Like, yes, you have a stage win at Polonia, but it's not like they clean that up and then don't score in Grand Tour. So definitely a big one. Milan has quite a few on the board there with a victory in Guangxi, plus at the Giro, plus Ciclamino. Landa has quite a few results, and those riders are leaving. And that brings us to the 2024 outgoing transfers. I just said it. Landa's going. Milan is going. Milan's a big one to go. Maciejczuk is going. Pedersteiner, and unfortunately, Hausler also went halfway through the season. So that is very devastating. But I don't think they'll miss Bernsteiner the last year and a half. Back in the day, the Herminator was goated, right?
Well, yeah, they used him as a flat ruler in Romandy to like chase breakaways for Colbrelli on the flat stages. tough gig. Landa, he would have been on a big salary. Yep. Probably they can see. I still think Landa's really, really good, but yeah, they mustn't have offered him a big contract. He's 34. He just turned 34. Yeah. I can understand them letting him go. The Milan one is, I think, one where I'm like, no, that's their fault. At Saudi Tour, they were trying to make him lead out Rajovic.
Yep.
Like, they clearly didn't think he was that good, or they were just preferencing other riders over him.
Yep.
And I don't think they did the best job possible to keep him, and I don't think they offered him a good extension early. And so maybe he would have gone for big money to Trek anyway. Maybe if they'd ponied up the horses and said, we want to make you our guy for the next 5 years, early, they could have kept him. I don't know. But I think that's the one where I'm like, ooh, don't want to let 23-year-olds that good go unless you really have to.
Exactly. That's true. And he's also a rider that he's already performing, but the potential that Milan has in the future is also significant. So that's also the thing they're missing out on now. Obviously, Maciejczuk leaving, it's an okay ruler, but I don't think they're going to miss him. He's replaceable, I reckon, for the team. And Hausler, obviously an irreplaceable soul, a legend on the cobbles. But then again, he was kind of washed these days. He's now a sports director at Bora, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, that's right.
But anyway, I think the riders that are replaceable here are Maciejczuk, Hausler, and Milan. Landa and
Milan's replaceable.
Correct. I agree. My head. I mean, Hausler, Pernsteiner, and Maciejczuk.
Yeah.
Milan and Landa are the ones that are less replaceable in my head. And then look at the incoming transfers. Thorsten Tran. This guy has an interesting story, though. As in, I recall this man, Norwegian rider, rode for UNOX. Solid talent. He had a abnormal blood result from a doping test.
Yeah,
that's
right.
And that turned out to be testicular cancer, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
So the doping tests lit up the fact that he had health issues, which made it able to be resolved in a quicker fashion. So credits to the doping people, I guess.
Get your doping test done.
That's weird to say.
No, but in all seriousness, I've said this before. I think I said it at the time, but yeah, make sure you get, if you have any abnormalities or anything fills up, not just there, but anywhere in your body, heart, wherever, particularly young men, often you think, oh, I'm 30, whatever, can't be anything wrong with me. Go get yourself checked. Could save your life. So that's a great story for him. And he's certainly someone I'm following with interest at this team. I must say a bit of a strange transfer. I thought he was going quite well at UNOX. They've obviously offered him a decent wicket, a decent salary, 10th at a tour of the Alps. Like, listen, this guy wasn't setting the world on fire, but some nice results nonetheless. And yes, he's 28, but he had that health issue, so keen to see how he goes. But yeah, still a little bit odd. Finley Pickering is a pocket climber, British rider. He won Tour Alsace GC last year, and this was, I think, maybe second or third year, U23s. He was, I think he crashed in Giro Valladolid, which is a major, he DNF'd on the Courmayeur stage, which is a major stage race, and that might have taken him out of L'Avenir, where he had health issues. I'm not sure exactly, but if I'm just looking at his PCS, to me it looks like someone who's had an issue that's taken him out of his major target races for this year. But he's a climber, Neo Pro minimum, replaces Pernsteiner, happy days.
Yep, I think so as well. I think that's a good replacement there. But it's also, I'm surprised at how little riders they have signed so far. Maybe they'll still show up with someone out of the blue in the next couple of weeks. But Alberto Brutomese, we know that cycling team Friuli is basically kind of a low-key development team that works together with this team. And Brutomese is the man that is coming over this year. And I won't lie, I'm not the most renowned person when it comes to Brutomese, but I recall him being a relatively okay rider at was it Slovenia or something? Okolo Slovenska? Where I think it was more the flat stage where Brutomese was acting
up. He's a sprinter.
Yep, I think so. Also second in a sprint at Giro Next Gen, so I guess they're pulling it out from that area. I wonder, like, you've always got with these Italian riders, you got to check if they have some kind of like track background, right? But I don't necessarily see a big one, not in the same sense that we saw with that Italian that is going to
Milan Amori,
the Movistar, that guy. Yep. So yeah. I'm curious what he will become. I'm always on the edge when it comes to the sprinty types, you know, going directly to World Tour when they're young, because they could just become a pro team level sprinter instead of, they could become Abrasturi instead of becoming.
He looks
a top
like
sprinter.
Rajovic right now.
Yeah. And so they have Rajovic already.
Yep. They do. But they still have the GOAT. They still have Bauhaus. So,
hey, we didn't give him credit. We didn't give him credit in the 2023 result, but the man had some good sprints at the Tour de France, right?
He did. It was kind of a strange year for Bauhaus, where he's like, I'm no longer Phil Bauhaus. And, you know, these things happen when you say I'm no longer who I am. But he basically said, I'm only going to win one World Tour race and then be competitive in Tour de France sprints. It's the opposite of what he's been renowned for, which is, you know, cleaning up the Saudi Tour and Slovenia and Hungary stages and Crow Race. So when you look at his 2021, damn, he only won two races in 2022 as well, which are World Tour level. It's funny because I think of him as a much better sprinter now. Well, it's not funny. He's more competitive in World Tour races. But those you were mentioning, Benji, second, third, seventh, third at the Tour, about 400 UCI points. Their leadouts are also pretty solid as well. Still doesn't have like the top end of a Jakobsen or Groenewegen, but
correct.
There or thereabouts a lot of the time. And yeah, I wonder if he never does shoulder press, does he, or anything like that. I wonder how he'd go.
Yeah, it's like the one they raced, like Eschborn Frankfurt. This year, he didn't really show up. I don't recall his previous years in those races. Seven at Bamer Classic last year. So I think it's not impossible for him to compete in those races. 13th in Cura last year. I reckon he should give it another try. Why not?
Why not? So this team evidently has little money. They probably are the best team, almost maybe even better than Quickstep in terms of results for points and results for money spent in terms of points and World Tour wins and Grand Tour stage wins, three Tour de France stage wins and other Grand Tour stage wins with and top five in GC with their budget. Extremely impressive. And you look at their incomings last year, It was bargain basement. It was like Cat Killer, Nikias Arndt, maybe on a decent salary, and then Neo Pros, like literal, like minimum Neo Pros, And this year is the same with Brutomesso and Pickering, and then Train might be on a little bit more. I don't know exactly, but he's certainly not on a million. I wouldn't think so. So, and Landa's outgoing. Mader was on, probably on a, about to get a big extension before he passed away, and Milan, they couldn't probably afford to keep him. So it's kind of about the future of this team, Benji. Like, the money, the budget seems to be going down every year.
Is it because the horse isn't winning anymore? For context, Victorious is a horse, eh? Is the prince's horse.
Oh.
Is the horse not winning anymore? And as a consequence, they don't have money anymore. I'm just finding it. Or is the petrol gone? No oil anymore.
I think it's a racing team.
Oh.
Yeah.
Flat, there's more than one horse.
Flat and endurance races.
What does that mean?
I don't...
the fuck is an endurance race with a horse?
Long distance.
They won the same circle?
They won the Kingstown Stakes at the Royal Ascot, it looks like. So, geez, it can't be doing too bad.
How's your horse doing?
But yeah, I think he actually placed twice in a row in Sydney Saturday races. Rogue Bear, he's flying actually. I don't know. The Nasser Hamad is the sort of patron of the team, who is like big into riding horses and also Ironman and bikes and the outdoors and fitness. So, but it just seems that looking at these signings, the budget must be going down. But anyway, they press on. It'll come to roost, I guess, when not even next year, because maybe Bauhaus will go somewhere else.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Thing is,
what are the realistic? Yeah, go on.
About the realistic goals of this team, I was just about to jump into it. If we see a rider like Landa leaving, and we see potential future victories leaving in Jonathan Milan, then undoubtedly in my head, this team will have a worse year next year compared to what they had in 2023. Does that mean they'll completely collapse? Not necessarily, but I find it hard to believe they'll have the same year. And when it comes to realistic goals, I'm thinking you try and get the same things with the riders you already had. Like, for example, Bilbao, you're looking for top five at Tour de France, maybe. You got six, so you might as well aim for top five. And then I'm looking at Caruso for the Giro. He top five the Giro. So let's try and top five the Giro again in those riders. And that goes the same with maybe Buitrago stepping up a little from a 10th in the Vuelta towards... maybe he gets like a top seven or something at a Grand Tour, if he can move something up, if there's some kind of potential upgrade he can get in some area. Then I look at one day races, and that's where I'm like, I feel like they were kind of, they podiumed LBL and Flèche and San Sebastian, but I recall them being better in the past in cobble races and so forth. Mohoric winning a one day race is not out of the ordinary in my head.
No, I mean, he was clear in Paris-Roubaix the year Zeeland Van Baarle won.
Yeah.
So you're right. MSR. It's, and you look, yeah, you won Milan San Remo. You look at the team, all of their top riders are also the top 10 oldest, apart from Buitrago. Pauls is 36, Caruso is 36, Bilbao's nearly 34, Bauhaus turning 30, Haig 30, Morris turning 30. So it's and probably a lot, that's where all the salary is too. Arashira also extended the GOAT. He'll finish when he's 40. So shout out to him. They're young riders, I guess, as you said, they'll be hoping for Zambanini, Burati, Mihalovic, Pickering, Govacar, one of them to step up. And Tiberi, I think, yeah, he shot the cat, but also realistically, like the guy is talented. Pretty good. So he's he's only 22. So like DeBerry is a really good writer. So
yeah,
he is someone that can step up. Fred Buitrago, yeah, you mentioned what sort of rider is he? Is he going to take that step up from cleaning Hepburn in breakaways in the Giro to like GC top five? It's never too late. Bilbao did it after 30. So like,
yeah,
people should be more patient. And Fred Wright, we haven't mentioned at all, Benji. I feel like he's the one that had the season. Yeah, it was statistically much worse than his year before, despite being young.
Yep, I think so as well. I just looked right and I got Michael right. So that's the result from 1967. I'm not going to get much out of that. But I agree, like back in the day, we were just talking about he's destined to win a Grand Tour stage because he got so close so many times in the Tour de France and the Vuelta last year. And then we look at 2023 and he's not really close in that. So maybe he just wasn't good enough to be able to compete for it, combined with maybe a slightly different role, but I wouldn't expect that to be the case. I would expect him to still have had the freedom to somewhat go for that. And he was close in close, seventh and eighth in a few stages and fourth in another stage of Dauphiné, so he did have form there. Top 10 in RVV, which matters, but I think we're looking for that step up with Wright in the coming years. And maybe it's not this year, 2024, maybe it's 2025, but maybe fighting for a top five in a monument, maybe getting close to a top three in a monument somewhere, maybe fighting for, I don't know, I'm just thinking,
I think it's more attainable than that. I think it's just top 10 in four of the six or seven classics he does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just true. Like just consistency. Yeah, because it's like 8, 19, 23, 31, 37, 57. He's better than that. He is better than that. He can, like, he should have the skill set where he can be getting in.
Yeah. He should be being sent to Amstel in my head.
Yeah, I see that.
Because right now he's doing opening weekend Cobble Classics, but I'd like to see Amstel being added to that, personally.
See, Omloop is so hard for him to win.
It is, but it is not necessarily super hard for him to top 10 if it's a closed-off race, which is hard when Jumbo's there.
Yeah.
But Wout van Aert is there this year, so depends on how close Brabantse they want Bale. It to be.
Also, yeah, I think Amstel Brabantse might be the option instead of the opening weekend for him. But if they don't send him, well then, Jesus, you know, it's maybe Bauhaus. I don't really know. So that's sort of... that we're talking about, yeah, who should they send to the Cobble races? He's the 1-2 punch with
Mohoric.
You could have sent Milan to develop him as like for those sprinter classics, but he's gone. Is Govacar, like, I'd love to see Govacar in those races.
Yes.
Arndt is not too bad, but yeah, Govacar, Pasqualon, Price Peterson, and Sutterlin, but it's not the it's a lot on Moritz, but Moritz needs kind of that other guys in his group, I think, like Tratnik back in the day was with him. It was Tratnik, Wright, and Moritz in groups of 10.
Yep. I reckon the same. When it comes to Hill Classics, I think of Wout Poels actually with Mohoric. Here's Wout Poels. Everybody keeps forgetting this man won Liège-Bastogne-Liège back in the day, 2016 at Team Sky. This man won like crazy. But the thing is, like, Wout Poels would probably have had a much bigger individual career if he wasn't riding for Sky for 6 years. Which, hey, that's his own decision. He probably got the bag for it. Let's be honest about that. But individual results, he could have easily have won multiple Grand Tour stages before 2023 if he wasn't riding there. And that shows by the fact that he won Liège-Bastogne-Liège in the opportunity he had, for example. And I reckon they should still send him to the likes of LBL, for example. Buitrago should be sent to that race again. He just podiumed it, so why not? Wright to Amstel, Mohoric to Amstel and LBL. No flesh for me for Mohoric. Do they have someone that could be really good at
Bull's
flesh?
Good flesh. Bull's good flesh.
Buitrago really, I kind of meh in my head. As in the steepness works, but the acceleration doesn't in my head.
Yeah. I'll just send Poels. He had a bad result this year, but I feel like he's done better. And maybe Tiberi. I was into Barry Tuoli Arden. I think he kind of fits it. So I think I don't see why he couldn't be good or solid enough to make their Arden team. He's been all right in the Italian classics, and I think they should send him to that.
I would send them to the Giro, to Barry, to get away Caruso. Maybe that's combinable with the Hill Classics, but it's a bit dodgy.
Yeah, he's Italian. I think he has to.
Wout Poels will go to the Giro, I'm pretty sure. He said in November that he almost thinks he must go to complete a stage triple because he won there in France stage. He won a Vuelta stage and wants to get that Giro stage in addition as well, which I like that. It's a short-term goal that suddenly popped up in 2022 for him, but might as well benefit because the end of his career is not too far away either. It's like he's not 20 anymore. So
He started a podcast.
Really? I haven't heard of it at all.
I thought he and Van Baarle do a podcast, no?
I don't know.
Oh, it's Dutch sheep. Can't be very widespread. Luke will know.
Gotta get better marketing, guys. I'm addicted to cycling and I know about it.
Everyone knows. Once you start a podcast, your life's over. That's what they tell me. But he's actually still really good. That's the thing. He could keep going for another 3-4 years. Plus, yep. I keep signing the guy. He's still so good. Yes.
Where do you send Bauhaus? Do you send him to every first week of a Grand Tour? That's a good idea, but then you need to send an entire train for every first week.
Sudlin, yeah.
Just imagine half your team going for a week in every Grand Tour and then dipping out and going to Polonia Renui instead.
Well, Haig will do the Tour. Okay. I don't think he'll do the Giro again. But he shouldn't. Haig should do the Tour. And then where do you send Santi? I think you send him to the Tour. Yeah. Moritz has to do Classics Tour. Poels is like, and then Tiberi, Caruso. Fuck, they got Bilbao as well. God, they got a lot of GC riders.
Bilbao Tour Vuelta to get away Santi for me.
Yeah, and then Moritz has his option, and then Wright does Classics Tour. And then just send every Italian to the, and then Bauhaus. But then Bauhaus. I think the Tour. I think he wants to win a Tour stage, so he's going to do the Tour.
It's not impossible, eh? Just give him a chaotic stage at the Tour with limited leadouts, and he's top three times in 2023.
Yeah.
If he keeps trying, it's likely going to happen in the end. So I believe in it. Even though, in my head, Bauhaus never got close to a victory. Does that fit?
Yeah,
he wasn't
really
close. Just so much better.
I kind of want Santi to do what Schielmoser is doing and skip the Giro Tour and fully peak for the Vuelta GC tilt. Because it's parkour is not bad for him. Why not?
I don't know.
He's a similar rider to Schielmoser. He's good in the Hill Classics. They are not that dissimilar.
I agree, but I want to see Santi more than one Grand Tour next year. Selfishly.
Oh, I mean, he didn't light up the Giro. Like, fucking followed around for 3 weeks and then won a stage. Where's Rajovic going? That's the big, because if I'm looking at his schedule and picking the opposite race, I don't want to do any race with him. If you're an opposition team, he'll crash you.
Where do you send him to impact other teams negatively? Or is this too dark of a topic?
Nah. He'll do the old Bauhaus schedule. So we'll see him in the desert.
Bauhaus is still doing a Bauhaus schedule for half the year, eh? Hungary he did, for example.
Who's doing the desert? Because Milan and Rajovic went to the desert this year.
That's true. I reckon Bauhaus should be going to the desert in my head.
Yeah, probably.
And send Rajovic to as well. Valenciana or something.
Yep. That suits him, their chaotic sprints. Okay, that's Bahrain victorious. They won, it says, 12 World Tour wins in 2023, which isn't that great of a year for them, in that they've had, that's just a continuation of a theme. It was more. They won 8 World Tour wins in 2022. They won in 2021. That was when Colbrelli was flying 16 world tour wins, including a shitload of grand tour stages in Paris-Roubaix. So I'm going to go with Milan's gone. Don't think Paul's will repeat it. I'm going to go with 8 again.
Okay. I think looking at this team that Buitrago's going to win a stage. Bilbao's going to win a stage. Mohoric's going to win 2 World Tour races, probably maybe 3 if he does Bologna again. Bajos is going to win a Tour de France stage. I reckon I'll go for... Is it boring if I say the same number because it makes sense in my head?
No, I did it to you last one.
I'll go with 7. Why not?
7? All right. I think we're going to have to make up the numbers with the pro teams. So Lotto better have a good year to lead.
I'm not sure.
Have to pick up...
You might have to. I think I got a lot more wins. I think I got 5 more wins for Jumbo than you had for Visma. So I think that's the...
Really?
I'm running ahead. You're all the way behind me in Narnia, in the Shadow Realm.
I hope Jack Haig personally has a good year this year. I think he'll be on a better schedule for his results. So hopefully he does well at the Tour de France next year, maybe Dauphiné and Swiss or Swiss before then. But otherwise, I think it's going to be the same thing with Bahrain. They're going to hope that a couple of those youngsters pick up, that Santi is really improves maybe 2%, and then just keep winning races with the old savvy guys. And I think that's what they'll keep doing. So I think it's a good GC team, and they score a damn load of points for a team that maybe people don't think is a top 5 team in the world, but they are clearly to me a top 5 team in the world. And I don't think they have the budget to match that either.
Ooh,
so
top 5.
Yeah.
Alpecin's higher in my opinion.
Okay.
Quickstep because of Remco.
Okay.
Visma, UAE.
Yep.
And that's the question, eh? Are they fifth or not?
So they score more points in World Tour races than Ineos.
I agree, they're higher than Ineos. Trek, I also believe they're higher than. You're right.
In 23. Maybe in 24, it's different.
I will see. Probably will be different, though. I feel like they might be 6th or 7th in 2024.
Yeah, maybe Bora and Ineos leapfrog them. I hope for their sake they do. anyway, that was the Bahrain preview. We'll see. Maybe they do. They do stay in the top 5.
Hot takes.
Oh.
Did you see that, guys? He tried to skip the hot takes. That is criminal.
Well, that's kind of the tea. It's like, I look, a lot of guys I like on the team, but...
Tiberi winning a Giro stage is not necessarily lava hot.
That's not a hot take. He's clearly good enough.
I'm going to change it. Antonio Tiberi, the cat killer, top 5
the
Giro.
Killer. Now we're talking. That's good stuff, yeah. So a downhill finish. Try and find a particular stage Bilbao can win the tour. Downhill finish.
How's the returns and wins Roubaix?
I don't think so.
He would still be the favorite, I'm telling you. Like Phil Verde.
Moritz doesn't win a World Tour race this year.
Sure. Bologna exists.
Is that hot
enough? Don't forget about Bologna. Is it hot enough? It is hot.
I was gonna go no race at all. I was gonna be like, don't win this. But then I was like, if he goes to Slovenia, like he has to win.
Might win a gravel race.
Yeah. Okay, Moritz doesn't win a World Tour race.
Okay.
That's my hot take. All right, thanks for listening to the Bahrain Victorious 2024 preview, and we'll see you with, I believe, Groupama FDJ next. Until then, ciao.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.